Hi, I'm Connie Phillips. I didn't start out as Connie Phillips. I started out as Colleen Virts, and I was born in Iowa in the United States of America, in the state of Iowa in the city of Des Moines. I was the sixth child in a family of seven, one more to be, and my parents had some problems at that time. My mother, I believe, was ill, and I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I ended up in an orphanage when I was a year and a half old. I was in the Christ Child home until I was four, and then I went to another home there for older children. And I just remember that day, for some reason or other, it's always been in my mind. I was standing up on the jungle gym and looking around and saw the school I'd be going to for the next, 9 years or so, and looked around and other kids there and all. But I was raised there, and it was a decent place. There were good people that took care of us. But it wasn't like being in your own home, of course, and having a mom and dad. But I had three brothers there, my younger brother and two older brothers. And then I had three other sisters in other homes in other parts of Iowa. But these three boys and myself were the youngest four children in the family. And they were, like I say, a nice, decent place to grow up. And the only thing was that when I was, I think I must have been about 5 or 6 years old, somebody came to see me, or they were going through some things. Anyway, I ended up with a picture of my mother and myself. And I don't know how I got that picture, but somebody in the children's home was very, very upset about it. And they said, "Where did you get that?" Well, I don't even know where it came from. I had no idea. But they took that picture away, and we took it down, had to walk clear down in the basement of the children's home. She made me throw it in the furnace. And it was always such a terrible thing to think of that. And it made me feel very upset towards my mother. And I had never even seen her that I remember. But that was probably one of the worst things that happened. But so I never had a very good view of my mother, because I thought she must have been pretty bad for somebody to treat you like that, or treat the situation that way. But I grew up in there mostly. I think I was about 10 years old, and I went and stayed with a sister of mine up in a small town in Iowa. And I stayed with her and her family for a year. And then I came back to the children's home for a while. And about, maybe a year after that, I went back to the same town with some other people and lived with them for a couple of years. And I ended up coming back to Des Moines and living with people and working for people. I found their names in the newspaper, and I went to live with people and I took care of their children and helped clean their houses and just help with the family while I was going through high school. And that's when one of the best things in my life happened. I met my husband, Don, and he was 17. So I was 15, and we started seeing each other, and he was really the light of my life, and he helped me get through high school. I don't think I could have made it without him, but I did, and he'd come over and help me memorize history that I long forgot, and he was just a helped me through everything. And I think I was 16, I was engaged to be married to him, because I had to wait till I was 18, or I probably would have been married then. But we made it through high school, and Don went into the Army, and then I was working, and as soon as I was 18, we got married in September of 1953. He was in the Army, so I drove down to Fort Benning, Georgia, and took all of our belongings, an ironing board, and a few clothes, and that was it. And we went, I drove down there by myself, which I can't believe I still did that, 18 years old, driving down by myself to Fort Benning, Georgia. And that's where our first daughter was born. She was born about 9 months later, and that was, I think that was the beginning of probably the worst times and the best. It was really hard. I'd never really missed having a mother that much until I was going to be one. Some reason or other, it just connected there, and I was very yearning for someone. we managed to get through that pregnancy, probably. And then I had a beautiful little girl named Lee Ann, and she was wonderful. It was really great. It was all new to me being a mom, and I was still pretty young. And then about a year later, I had another one. And by that time, we had just moved back from the Army up to Iowa and back in Des Moines. I don't know how I did it. The Lord knew, and I sure didn't, but I somehow managed with those kids, and we did as a young couple. And Don's parents had passed away when he was 18. We never had any family to speak of at all. So when we come back to Iowa, we were pretty much on our own. But Don went back to work and being out of the service, and things went fairly well. And I had two more children within about 3 years. So by the time I was 24, we had a nice family, and that was our last children that we had. So we had three boys and a girl, and the Lord was good to us. We're able to, even if we weren't Christians at that time, we at least agreed on how to raise them, and we were both kind of strict with our children, but yet we really loved them a lot. And we pretty much agreed, so it seemed to work pretty good for that situation. Oh, throughout the years, I really had a yearning. I didn't know what it was, just a real yearning in my heart for something. And Don and I, we got along pretty good, and he was a good husband and good dad. And as I got older, there are times when I felt like, I guess I would say probably today you'd be in depression at times, because I never quite felt like I was doing the best that I could do. And then the guys, after ball games and stuff, we'd all get together and we'd go out and have a few drinks. And this went on for a while, and then I didn't really like it too much because everybody was drinking. And then I finally weakened myself, and I started because I thought maybe I'd have more fun and enjoy it if I went along with everyone else. So I started, you know, having a few drinks with the guys, and I found out that it was easier to talk and easier to associate and have relationships with people when you're drinking. So you didn't have too many inhibitions at that time. So I kind of enjoyed it and went on. And as the years went on, we still were doing pretty good, but I think the drinking has tended to get in our way a bit more. And sometimes we didn't want to stop, and you start having a couple of drinks, and pretty soon you want more, and it was going on. It was really not very good. But we still managed to, somehow we managed to keep things together, but I wasn't happy with it at all. I was never, ever pleased with that drinking part of my life. I hated it, but yet, you know, just kind of as you might call it, hooked on it, you might say, but kept, enjoyed it, and then yet I hated it at the same time. Well, I think my husband started drinking a little bit more, and I saw that it was really beginning to kind of separate us a little bit, and he was staying out with his buddies a bit more, and I ended up being more depressed and thinking that we weren't doing the best we could for our family and all. And I did try and take my life one time. And before that, we had tried churches. And one time we went to a church out in California. Went there with our four little children, and there was never any hospitality or any reaching out to us or anything. And like I told a friend, you know, they're nicer in a bar than they are in that church. There was no one there to greet it, and I was a needy person. If it had just been a couple of women, that would have put their arms around me. But it didn't happen then, so I was to go through quite a bit more. That was in California. We had moved out there for 3 years and thinking maybe we might try some different things in our lives. And we come back to Iowa, but this time I was saying that I did try and take my life. I had a pastor. He came to the hospital visiting there. I didn't know him, but he came and he talked to me. He was very nice, but he never told me anything, really, very much, except he just kind of visiting. But he told us what church he went to, and it was kind of a Baptist church. I didn't know there's all different kinds of Baptists. I thought they were just Baptists as Baptists. But this was actually in kind of a liberal Baptist church. So we started going to his church, but I thought it would be some discipline in my life. I would get through that church. But I went there, and I never really found any need. Many times I would just sit there and cry at church during the service, and I just was hurting so much inside. But in about that time, Don and I decided to separate for a while, and it was really a terrible decision. But I know now that God was using it in our lives in a tremendous way. But he went to that pastor in that church, and he said, "I want to talk to you." He said, "I want my wife and I, we got to get back together." And the pastor Olson said, "Well," he says, "I'm sorry, but," he says, "as far as I'm concerned, I think you ought to have a renewal of marriage every 5 years anyway. I don't think that they have to last." Well, that was really a great help to go to someone like him that didn't even have a concern about marriage. And by the way, about 3 years later, he was divorced and left his wife and went off with some lady in the church. So here we were trying to get help from somebody who was not helping. So we kind of went on just a few months, but we ended up getting back together. And we had four teenagers at the time, and they, of course, were happy that we were getting back together. Don came back, and we were getting along pretty good, and our oldest son at the time, he was Michael, and he came and talked to us, and he said, "Steve's sister has run away, and we're going to go down to New Orleans and visit her and see if she'll come home with us. So we know where she's living, and we're going to go down there." So I said, "Well, that's up to you. You got your car," and he worked hard, and all of our kids had jobs. They were really wonderful children and go-getters and not afraid to do a little work. And he had his own car. He was 18, and he got in his car and two other boys, and they took off for New Orleans. And when he was down there, he met Steve's sister, and she was living with a young pastor and his wife and children. And he'd taken her in, and so the pastor, of course, right away shared the gospel with these boys. Well, my son accepted Christ at that time. Meanwhile, I'm back in Iowa, and this is in the middle 70s, and we're thinking, this sounds like a cult or something. And then one of my boys come in the dining room one time, and I'm sitting, and he says, "Mom, Mike's a Jesus freak." Oh, I start crying, and I thought, somebody's taking him away from us. Well, he was down there about another week, and we just waited for him to come home, and when he come home was when I saw him and heard him, just a few things that he said, and I was so touched. It's like, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. And he had started telling us about how I could have a whole new life in Jesus Christ. And if I'd have been the only person in the whole world, Christ would have died for me. And then he showed us that we were all sinners. And that's why I had so much trouble being what I wanted to be, because I was a sinner. So, and that sin was separated us from God. And there was only one way to have reconciliation back to God, was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was so excited about it. I just couldn't think about anything else. But that next few days when Mike got home, well, actually the first night, our 14-year-old son, Ted, went to a little charismatic church in Des Moines called the New Life Center. And they went to a little coffee shop that night that he'd come home, and he took our son, and our son had accepted Christ. We're thinking, what's happening around here? And my poor husband, he was really wondering what was happening. So Ted come home, and just the whole situation, the way they were acting, it was just so different. My heart and my soul was being opened up by the Holy Spirit. Mike would just sit there at the kitchen, little counter, and read scripture and tell me about how we can have our sins forgiven and how we could have new life in Christ and how the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I just heard those words, and it was my whole life was changing right before my eyes. I'd never heard that. So I trusted Christ as my Savior. And from then out, I just saw everything different. I saw people different. It was not the same as it had been in my life. That's exactly what I'd been searching for all my life, all that yearning that I had. And it was for God, that void He gives us in our hearts that only He can fill. And not that I was anxiously running after God, because I was not. I wasn't a good person. But I was there, and He filled that void. He began to heal all the hurts that I had throughout the years. I don't need to go into all the things that happened as a little girl and living with people that had no respect for me. And I don't even want to go into those details because it's not worth it. But there was a lot of healing I needed in my heart and in my life. And to think of me as being a worthy person or worthwhile. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy of God, but at least a worthwhile person, and I had nothing to do with my background. I could not help it, anything that happened, and that's who I was. And in Christ now, I'm a new person, and I have to look at myself and say, if it hadn't been for me, Connie Phillips. By the way, I changed my name when I was 16 to Connie because I didn't like Colleen. And then, of course, I changed my name when I was 18 to Phillips, so that's how I got the name Connie Phillips. But that Connie Phillips, and I can say it by bragging in the Lord, boasting in the Lord and not in myself, that if it wasn't for me, and there's been people that have come to know the Lord because I've loved them and taken the time to share the gospel, and you can do it. Anyone can be that, because I'm not any special person at all. As you can see, I wasn't raised by wonderful Christian parents, and I didn't raise by no parents, so. But my life was changed completely. Better get over to the next one, because 5 weeks later my husband come to know the Lord. He could tell you some funny things, like I wouldn't do a thing like this. He said I actually nudged him while we were holding the hymnal for him to go forward. Why, I wouldn't think of doing a thing like that in my life. But he said I did, so I have to go by his truth. But he's a wonderful man, and he's a godly man, and we've changed. Both of us have changed. And like I say, God has healed our marriage. And, you know, once in a while you sort of feel like, I'd like to go talk to somebody. I mean, we have friends and we can go talk. We can say, this is really bugging me. This is really bothering me. But, you know, I found out through the years that Jesus really is the counselor. When I used to think about killing myself, I had a certain pattern I sent in my life. I would keep thinking a certain way until I was there, thinking I was no good and everything. But I'll tell you, as soon as I come to know the Lord, I read a book by Dr. Tim LaHaye, How to Overcome Depression. And it was very excellent because it showed me that I, rather than just keep following that same pattern of thinking worse and worse of myself, I had to give the Lord permission, and I had to confess it as sin that I was beginning to have self-pity, and I had to stop it right there and start going another direction. And I did, and I kept doing that. And I never do that anymore. I mean, it took a few weeks to get over that. You just certain way you do your whole life and run yourself down and feel sorry for yourself, and then it leads into depression. But you can stop it, can be done with the help of the Holy Spirit and guiding and you confessing that as sin. And it's helped me so much. So when I come to know the Lord, and then Don, he noticed the change in a tremendous way in my life. I mean, I was really different. Everybody doesn't change overnight, but sometimes God works it where you are changing. And we did. We changed pretty fast because we had a lot of people, mentors, and eventually, especially after Don come to know the Lord, we had friends that were having a Bible study at our house with us and teaching us. Until we had this Bible study, ended up with four rooms of our house being used as Bible studies. One was a new Christian, and I was teaching it. It was so wonderful. And we just had people from, I don't know, can't remember where they all came from, but we were just on fire for the Lord. And I want to keep being that way. And even when I'm 72 years old, I still want to be on fire for the Lord. We were Christians about 10 years, and we did grow. We went to church every Sunday, no question. We built houses. We've come out from storms and everything, but we were at church every Sunday, and there's no question about that. We didn't have to make up our minds every day, well, should we go this Sunday? No, that was a fact. You go. And so we did grow in the Lord, I think, pretty fast, and we're thankful for that, too. And about, oh, maybe 9 years after we were Christians, some people came to speak in our church, and they were Wycliffe Bible translators, and they had a movie at that time, and it was very interesting, and they were down in Columbia, I believe, and told us all about what they go through and about the helpers that they have, and really impressed the whole thing, the whole movie. But then I still thought, well, you know, we're still, that's not for us because we're not translators or anything. So it wasn't very long after that, someone brought a movie or a video about JARS and Jungle Aviation and Radio Service, which is an arm of a branch of Wycliffe Bible Translators. And they showed that at our church. And we were really, both of us felt the same way that maybe that's something we could do. We had been studying the book of John, and God was just worked this all out, that we were being spoken to through his word. Nobody had to say anything to us, but it's just through his word, and we just kept, somehow I can't even remember exactly how it went, but between his word and then hearing about these places that could use people in construction, we really felt that God was calling us into missions. And I think I was 48, Don was 50. So we went down to North Carolina, and for 2 weeks we had time to go down, and we worked down there and helped, and then we took a tour of Wycliffe, and oh, that's wonderful. They just told all about Bible translation, all the needs. Of course, I had no idea there were over 6,000, probably 6,800 languages in the world, and I had no idea. And it just touched our hearts so deeply. And while we were there, we had a rainy day, and Don said, well, let's go talk to someone and see if they could use us here. And so we went and talked to this fella, and he had us come in and sit down, and we said, well, my husband asked him, how do you know that, you know, God wants you to do something like this? And he says, well, you're here, aren't you? And, of course, we were. And we'd come all the way from Iowa down to North Carolina, and we saw there a need of, and all around the world, for construction people. So we worked there, and he suggested that we go home and pray about that and talk to our elders and our pastor and the family, you know, and see what everybody thought. Well, we did that, and everybody we knew said, go for it. And we did, and within about a year, we had our support and sold our little farm and left for North Carolina. And we were pretty naive. We were really tired, too, by the way, by the time we got down there. So we were kind of just glad to be there and working, you know, and at our pace, kind of slowed down a little bit after all the getting ready to come to North Carolina. And then about Thanksgiving time, our boss at Char's, Larry Zog, come in. He asked Don, he says, how about you going to Indonesia and building a hangar? And Don said, well, I'll talk to my wife. So he said, I'll go home at lunchtime and I'll talk to her. So he said, Larry wants us to go to Indonesia and build a hangar there. And he says, what do you think? And I says, well, we're missionaries, aren't we? And that's what he said, I said. So I said, so he come over, we called him, said, yeah, we'll go. And he called and he says, well, first you got to get a passport. And we said, what? What's that? What's a passport? We're from Iowa. We don't need passports there. So he explained, then, you know, the visas and everything. We started. And, oh, I was so excited. I tell you, there, Elaine Townsend, she's Cam Townsend's wife who started Wycliffe. And I know she got a big kick out of me because I was so excited. She never forgot me. She says, oh, you're Connie Phillips. You're from Iowa and you're going to Indonesia. Oh, I was so, it was such a thrill, I tell you. Just to serve the Lord is just absolutely, I mean, not that there aren't some downtimes, but I tell you, it's a, you can never, there's nothing in the world to be where God wants you to be. And sometimes I feel kind of bad. People, they don't realize what a joy just stepping out in that door that's open. And open, keep going and keep going because, you know, he just opens those doors. And I try to remind my grandchildren, and one of the biggest obstacles is to not be in debt. And I hate to see that, but young people get so far in debt where they just can't get out and can't go serve the Lord in missions and things. We were very blessed. We didn't have hardly any bills at that time, and our kids were just barely grown, just out, you know, but they were married and they were fine, and we were able to just go, and we were supported by friends and family. So that's kind of the story of my life. We probably went to, we think we've been to about 20 countries, and have met lots and lots of wonderful people, just like here in England. We're in England right now. It'll be about a 3-month time that we're here. It's just a very fulfilling life, and I just wish we were maybe 30 years younger. I don't know if I want that, but just a few years younger and start all over again. That's the only thing I don't like about getting older is because I know that one of these days I'm not going to be able to be out and around. But there's other people, there's young people coming in, and I just hope there's somebody listening that might just stop, slow down, and listen to what God has to say. And read the book of John, and you'll see God will call you and to become his followers and his disciples, and just that you obey him. I can't say it's easy, but then I can't say it's hard either. I think it's almost, it just makes you happy, that's all. To obey. Well, perhaps you're wondering, how can I have that relationship with Christ? And how can I become a Christian? All my life I've believed in God. I've never doubted God was there. But it's a personal relationship that really brings you through and takes you through the rough times and the rough spots in your life. Maybe you have a friend or someone that you've heard of or has talked to you about Jesus, and maybe you've ignored them. Or maybe you know a good church or a pastor. Go and just get acquainted and visit with them and ask them how you can come to know Jesus in a personal way. Because if you don't know him in a personal way, you're lacking something. Well, maybe you could just call up a friend and take them with you to church, and then you wouldn't be by yourself. And don't leave as soon as it gets over. Stop and visit with people a little bit and talk to the pastor. Tell him maybe you'd like to visit with him. And just be prepared to listen and have people care about you, because there will be. There's a lot of people that do care, and I do. I care about you, and there's many people. But sometimes you have to take a step in that direction, and you can't always wait for people to come to you. So thank you. God bless you. each of you, and I just really pray that God will touch your hearts and you will come to know him.